Y'all know what time it is. You know the vibranium. This is the Shaw's Law Podcast. You know who I am and what I do. Rob Shaw, a.k.a. the Pod God, a.k.a. Harry Potter. Solo Pod, you know, one man band. I mean, they can't stop it. It's Monologue Poppy in the building tonight, baby. There's some stuff to get to, so let's get to the getting to it. Know what I mean? First, for those of you guys that know me, I am a fake graduate of the University of Kentucky. Like, that's my college team. Those are my guys. Man, when my group chat lit up last night and said, yo, I think Terrence Clark passed away. Sick. First thing I do, straight to Twitter. There's a lot of rumors going around. One of the rumors is that it might be Terrence and BJ Boston. Fortunately, it wasn't both of them. Unfortunately, Terrence Clark did lose his life in a car accident in Los Angeles. And that junk, that got to me because Terrence Clark is obviously somebody I was critical of as a Kentucky fan. He didn't play as much as I thought he would this season due to injuries. But going into the season, a lot of boards had BJ Boston at number two and higher than Terrence Clark. I was a Clark believer. I thought Terrence Clark just had a little bit more off the dribble sizzle. You can actually find me talking about that with Gabe in our must have been the Spurs preseason pod. And I also spoke about it with Thunder Chats because he's a Kentucky fan on the Thunder preseason pod. So I talked about being a little bit higher on Terrence Clark than BJ Boston. Both of them did have underwhelming years, but they still, like, dove headfirst into being a part of Kentucky basketball. And I just can't imagine how that family feels. I've been seeing a lot of tweets like, Terrence Clark worked so hard for 19, almost 20 years to put his family in an amazing position to have it all taken away 3 months before his biggest dream was realized is saddening. I'm looking for the NBA and Adam Silver to remember when Baylor forward Isaiah Austin went through the draft process and then found out he had a disease that wouldn't allow him to play in the NBA. And Adam Silver made him like an honorary draft pick. I'd really like to see that from Adam Silver in the NBA. Like, just, hey, this guy was on a path to being in the NBA. He had declared, foregone his eligibility. He had signed with Clutch Sports. And by all accounts, he was going to be drafted. Maybe not in the first round, but he was definitely going to be drafted. So I think it'd be a nice gesture from the NBA to do that for Terrence Clark, but also for his family. Let them know, like, hey, we're thinking about you. So that's the Terrence Clark conversation. I normally don't like to, I guess I do normally tend to start with the sadder things because I want to finish on a high note. I don't want you guys coming to the pod and at the end of the pod being like, damn, Rob really dragged me down, man. So I like to finish high energy with fun stuff. So that does mean the top of the pod can be a little heavy sometimes. While we're on heavy topics, the government got one right. Or the judicial system. George Floyd's murderer, Derek Chauvin, was found guilty on all three counts. And this isn't perfect. This doesn't fix anything. He's just been held accountable. And even then, like, the feeling was they're going to get this wrong. I saw somebody tweet that even though we all watched this man be murdered in 4K, it still felt like a 16 seed beating a 1 seed. And as a basketball person, that is the perfect analogy. Like, that is how I felt. Even though I watched it just like you watched it, it seemed like it was a cut and dry, open and shut case. And America's history has just shown, I don't know, man, you can watch it happen and still we might just say it was something different. And we've had, and like not an hour after the Chauvin verdict, the Chauvin guilty verdict, like it pops up on the screen that we had a cop shoot a young black girl. The circumstances of this are a little bit different, but it sounds from what I'm gathering, she was being jumped by some other girls. She called the police to help her. And when they arrived, it looked like she was going to stab another girl. And the officer fired 4 shots. There's a lot going on here. It's a lot to unpack. My very first thought is, if this dude wasn't an elite shooter, the girl he was going to protect could have definitely caught one of those bullets. So that's my first thought. Second, I don't know why lethal force is always the first option for a lot of these officers. What the fuck do they have the tasers for if they never use them shits? Like, what is the point in keeping them on the belt if every time there's a situation where you think force might be necessary, you go to deadly force? It doesn't make sense to me. Like, I feel like tasing that girl would have got the job done. She was 16 years old. Feel like tasing Dante Wright would have got the job done. But I know she accidentally picked up her service weapon and not her taser. She confused them. Yeah, all right. So it's just, he may have saved another girl from being stabbed. It looked like that is what happened. But I don't know why deadly force is always the first answer. It just doesn't seem to make sense to me that you have so many non-lethal options. And it's always, go with the one that's going to kill somebody. Can we start, they want to shoot their guns. Can we start only giving these dudes rubber bullets? Like, I don't know what the solution is, but it can't keep happening like this. You can't even celebrate a win before the next young black person is dead. I think that is our heavy stuff. I hope I covered all of it. Man, I can't wait to get back to like just basketball on the pod or just nerd stuff. But as a black man with a platform, a growing platform, shout out to y'all that are subscribing and telling a friend to tell a friend. I appreciate that. And sometimes I think it's because I haven't been afraid to talk about what's on my mind from a, I guess, political standpoint. Like, I don't dive tons into politics, but these are things that are on my mind and they're happening. So I do think maybe that this is helping. Like, people are like, oh, he's not afraid to say what's on his mind. I'd be remiss if I didn't also shout out, let's just give a rest in peace to Black Rob. I wasn't super familiar with his music. Like, I know Whoa, like everybody else. I know he was with Bad Boy. But, like, anytime there's a loss of life within the culture, I'd like to attempt to address it. You guys ready for some hoops? Zion pulled up to the guard. He hooped. He did his thing. Julius Randle did his thing. But they asked Zion after the game, yo, how you feel about NY? And he gets this big smile. And he says everything the Knicks fans ever wanted to hear. Like, the only thing Zion didn't say was, damn, man, y'all got the wrong Duke dude that year. Like, the only thing he didn't say was, damn, bet y'all wish y'all had me instead of RJ. That's the only thing he stopped short of saying. Yo, I love it here. This is my second favorite place to play in New Orleans, besides New Orleans. Which is fine, and that's fly. But you dudes on the internet talking about, oh my God, Zion's going to sign soon. I'm here to break your hearts. That's not how basketball works. I've said this once. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. No dude that is any good has ever said, yo, I'm going to play this year on the qualifying offer so I can hit restricted free agency next year. Nobody ever does that. The only one who ever did that was Greg Monroe. And guess what? He sucks. And he's always sucked. I've always thought Greg Monroe sucked. But nobody, you're an elite, elite talent. And the qualifying offer is X amount of dollars. But it's not a crazy number. Like, let's say for the number one pick, it's $7 million. So Zion's going to play that year on $7 million and then risk getting hurt so he can enter unrestricted free agency. But if he gets hurt, he doesn't have a contract the next year. Nobody does that. It's too risky from a business standpoint. If now there's a chance that maybe with player empowerment, the players union says in the next CBA, yo, we want to get rid of restricted free agency, or we want to make changes to restricted free agency. Then maybe it happens. But if you think things are going to stay the way they are currently set up, and that Zion is going to get out of his rookie contract and play a year on the qualifying offer so he can go to the Knicks, you are a fucking idiot. Like, as a matter of fact, I'm here to double down. You'll know what sound this is. Dick on the table sound. I'm here to double down. If you doofy motherfuckers think that he is going to play a year on the qualifying offer to get to the Niggas is idiots. Nobody does that. The Knicks, if they want to get Zion, they'll get him on his third contract. Go back through basketball history. When dudes change teams without being traded, it is for one of two reasons. Like an elite young dude, it means that some they tried to leave and their team didn't match. So, as a matter of fact, I'll give you guys a couple of examples. Eric Gordon wanted out of New Orleans, I want to say. Eric Gordon wanted out of New Orleans. He signed an offer sheet. Maybe it was in Charlotte. I'm messing up some of the details, but he signs an offer sheet. He begs New Orleans not to match the offer sheet. You know what New Orleans says? Eat a dick, Eric Gordon. You're stuck here. And they match. Because that's what restricted free agency is. Zion can enter restricted free agency and go to the Knicks and say, yo, throw the whole bag at me. And they can do it. And then you know what New Orleans says? Yeah, we're just going to match. And that's that. So you can go back in history and look like, young elite players only leave on their third contract. It's how the CBA is set up. And you think Zion with his already shaky injury history is rushing to New York, is rushing to play a year on the qualifying offer. That's the real thing. It's the qualifying offer where, first of all, you lose money. You lose money off rip. If I play a year on the QO, the qualifying offer, and it's $7 million or whatever it is, that number is pre-negotiated. Like, that's the collective bargaining agreement. I can't control that number. But if I sign my extension with New Orleans, when that that kicks in at whatever number the extension is at. So if I sign it for $27 million, that's a difference between $20 million for 1 year. Let me say that again for you simpletons. That is a difference of $20 million for 1 year. The qualifying offer in this example is seven. But if I start the extension early and I sign for $27 million, which isn't a preposterous number for a talent like Zion, that is a difference in just 1 year of $20 million. So for all you simpletons out there, you goofy fucking goobers, he's not playing a year on the qualifying offer. You would be hard-pressed to find any real dude who plays a year on the qualifying offer. Just simply because it's such bad business. Like, it's bad business financially, and then it's risky in a sport where you can tear your ACL, or it's just goofball business. And like, I understand you guys want the Knicks to be great, and I'm not saying he never comes to New York. I'm telling you that while the CBA is how it is right now, he does not come until his third contract, and I don't give a fuck what he said to them doofy ass reporters at the Garden. Man, y'all pissed me off with that. Like, the homework, the research is right there. Do your fucking homework. Do your Googles. While we're on the subject of the Knicks, Julius Randle, hooping. Like, gonna make an all-NBA team. Might even sneak his way onto an MVP ballot. So, let's just get into some Julius Randle backstory. One of the best dudes in his high school class breaks his foot. Maybe it's not his foot. It might have been his whole leg. Junior year. And then he gets injured and his mom is hitting him like, yo, his mom is calling the McDonald's All-American committee like, yo, don't rule my baby out. Don't rule my baby out. When he comes back, it's going to be go time. He's still going to be the same dude he was. Please don't rule him out for the McDonald's All-American game. Mama knows best. Julius Randle came back hooping. McDonald's All-American. Like, the dude was just the business. Like, sort of high school Bronish, not obviously not LeBron, but like, he can just do it all in a lot of, I can just overpower you at this level. Boom, he goes to Kentucky, my school. We're playing Michigan State, and they are giving us the drugs in the Champions Classic. So you know what Cal does? Simple. Runs the same damn play 20 straight times for Randle. It's called like X or some shit. It's Julius Randle, right block, drugs. Just giving those Michigan State defenders drugs. Right block, jump hook, left shoulder, dead man. What you want? Here, you take a pack. You take a dime bag. You go sell that rock on the corner. He was drug kingpinning them. He's drafted number 7 by the Lakers. First game of the season, breaks his leg. First of all, played one game like 6 minutes or something, completely no longer in the race for Rookie of the Year the next year. Weird ass rule, but whatever. And now, then he's shipped to New Orleans, and he's just, he got buckets in New Orleans, but like not in a way that was really conducive to winning. And like, it just kind of all clicked for him this year. He came in better shape. Woj did like a fly interview with him this week, And I think part of it is Kenny Payne is there, and there's a lot of Kentucky gang within the Knicks organization, like the New York Wildcats or the Kentucky Knickerbockers, whatever you want to call them. But like, it's just fly seeing how his game has developed. He's always been a nice ball handler for his size. He's normally more of a bully, and I don't know that he's the athlete to could always be a bully at the NBA level. So like, the switch up in his game has been nice, but the biggest thing is Son got a hammer this year. Like, he got a gun. He's just shooting the ball so much better, and that opens up your game. First of all, you get to attack dudes, like the closeouts running towards you. You can attack it a little bit harder when you're a shooter. Shooting makes you a step faster than you are. If you're an elite shooter, they need to be just a tad closer to you than they do if your junk is broke. And I'm just, it's really exciting to see. I like when the Knicks are good. So, like, shout out to Julius Randle. I guess that was the point. I haven't talked to you guys since LaMarcus Aldridge retired. LaMarcus Aldridge, I guess he was cool. Like, he was one that never really did it for me. Like, I know he was good, but his game was never, oh, Aldridge has got the rock, gotta watch every move he makes. Like, he had a steady game. Like, he was an all-star and he was really good, but he just wasn't, his game wasn't aesthetically pleasing to me. He went to the Spurs to be the heir to the Tim Duncan throne, and he found out really, really quick that heavy is the head that wears the crown, because he couldn't handle that mantle. Like, Timmy was a little bit different. And I never said this at the time, but like, now thinking back on it, the difference between Duncan and Aldridge athletically, like, young Tim Duncan athletically mopping the floor with Aldridge. And like, when he came to get the crown or take the mantle, I think we all were thinking a little bit like, Aldridge can take the crown from Duncan. They place him, because we were thinking about washed up Duncan. Young Timmy would have done, prime Timmy, prime Aldridge is getting done foul. He's doing prime LaMarcus Dirty Paulay. But I'm sad to hear about his irregular heartbeat. But ultimately, I think this might be a net positive for the Nets. There was just a little bit too much old washed big guy in the Nets rotation. Like, Aldridge is now gone. Those minutes can go to Nicholas Claxton, and like, just more Claxton minutes. He's big, he's bouncy, he's young, he's energetic. The Nets need some of that in their life. So I think this is secretly beneficial to the Brooklyn Nets. I haven't heard anybody else say that. So I hope y'all think about that and be like, damn, Rob on his shit today. Steph Curry has gone full on Human Torch. Everything moving, smoking it. Like, he's just, he looks like he's back at Davidson. Just through the legs, behind the back, pull up, cluck a towel, hand down, man down. And he's just one of the funnest dudes in the world when he's shooting it like that. Like, he's often duplicated, but never replicated. That makes sense. Like, they try and do what he's doing. Nah, but a duplicate, they be trying to be him, but they're not him. Like, he's a him. Steph Curry is a capital H-I-M. Him, him, him. You want to know who, like, those dudes really are in the league? And we talk about it, like, there's 6 or 7 real hims in the league. Steph is a him. LeBron is the ultimate him. Durant is a him. Like, man, he's just so fun to watch when he's doing that. Even with weird teammates and non-shooting Draymond. Like, he's just a special, special dude. All right. We have two topics left. Let's start with Invincible. Invincible is a cartoon on Amazon Prime. And it's... Amazon Prime just does superheroes good. They're not afraid to go dark at all. Like, this is a bloody, gory cartoon. I tell you all that to tell you that I watched this with my middle son, my four-year-old, and it is our shit, man. Like, it's just... So, what normally happens with me and my four-year-old, Remy, is, like, Saturday night, he'll come and he'll lay in my bed and we'll, like, pick a show while his older brother plays Fortnite or whatever. And the two of us will pick, like, a cartoon to watch. And normally, how I normally pick my investment level is because, like, I'm washed. I'd be tired. So I put my head down on the pillow and I'm normally trying to go to sleep. But I can see he's right next to me, so I'm looking at him and I'm listening to the show. And if the show is any good, like, it'll pique my interest audibly. Like, I'll start listening a little bit harder. But what normally happens is he goes from laying down to sitting up. Like, he kind of perks up and it has his attention. And, like, the longer he perks up or the more he starts getting comfortable in a sitting up position, the more I need to know, nah, what got his attention like this? What are we watching? And that's what happened with Pacific Rim had a cartoon on Netflix, and we banged that out all in one night. Like, I was trying to go to sleep. I put it on as background noise. He got in the bed. He was like, what's this? I told him. He was like, all right. And then, like, it sounded kind of cool. And then, like, he starts sitting up and adjusting his body. And next thing you know, I got to turn over so I can see what's happening. Now we're sitting up and we finished the whole show in a night. Invincible sort of had the same thing. Like, I've been seeing the ads for it. I waited for him to watch it. We're watching. And, like, he's sort of laying down. So am I. And then, boom, something happens. We both kind of sit up, look at each other. Then we adjust. Then we watched four episodes. And, like, the premise, without giving away spoilers, is if Superman turned on the Justice League, but nobody knew it, and he was raising Superboy to be a superhero all while he actually has turned on the Justice League. That's sort of the premise. I should really look up, like, it's based on a comic book. I should look up who has the rights to it. My guess is it's a DC property because, like, the Invincible world, Invincible is the main character, is definitely, there's a fake Superman, there's a fake Batman, a fake Wonder Woman, a fake Teen Titans. Like, they're all... You know who these characters are supposed to be. Oh, man. It's good. I would recommend it. It's Invincible on Amazon Prime. Another superhero show I'm watching is Falcon and Winter Soldier. I won't go deep into detail on that because you know me and Gabe are going to give you a full series recap when it's all over. And we'll probably talk some draft prospects. So I won't say too much on Winter Soldier and Falcon. I do like how they are handling some of these race relation topics, though, so I'll give credit where credit is due. And lastly, big shout out to Zach Short of the Detroit Tigers. Zach is a Kingston High graduate. He's from Kingston, and he played in his first Major League Baseball game the other day. Yo, that's so ill for him and his family and the time he put in. And for those that don't know, Zach was a pretty good basketball player. Not scholarship basketball, but an elite shooter. And he definitely brings me to my muscle memory theory. I actually talked about it on a YouTube interview I did with him. But I'm just... Like, this is a kid I know. He's my brother's age, so I've known him for, like, I've watched him as a kid, like, to watch him grow up and achieve his dream and keep working. And he's like just such a positive and cool guy. I couldn't be happier for him. It was so dope scrolling through the timeline and the stories and seeing like the whole city just posting like, yo, Zach, you made it. Congratulations. Like, that's fly shit. Ends, it just ends so abruptly. You gotta fix that. So I got in the workshop and I was like testing outros. And then I came up with like something I like, and maybe this doesn't stick around forever, but like this is what I like, and it's based off the feedback that somebody said, yo, you can't just, all right, that's it, the end. Like, let us know you're signing off. Have a signature sign off. So this has been the Shaw's Law Podcast, and like that, we out.